tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. That's Tom DePinto. This is at RBLR Sun FC. How are you doing? I don't know why I said at the beginning. That was sort of odd, but oh well.
Yes, we are at the RBLR studios.
There we are, yes. Which are our individual homes.
Yeah, which is just home. Yeah. Liz, I'm doing at RBLR Tom is doing hashtag great.
Yeah.
We're doing real online right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Liz, what better time to be a Sun fan than every day ever for the past couple months, but most importantly today, because we've qualified for a home playoff game.
Yeah, honestly.
We done did it.
Huge weight off our backs. Very excited for this. Really just need Carolina to screw up at this point so that we get the next home game.
Yeah.
And then we win the whole dang thing.
We jump in that river. Two more games, three more weeks, we jump in a river, guys.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. It's not an industrial sort of deal. It's a nice river. You can canoe on it. You can paddle on it. It's a good river.
Okay.
Charlie Brown. It's a good river, right. Charlie Brown.
All right. Yeah. Just think of, you remember Tarzan?
I remember Tarzan. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the elephant is like, is this water sanitary? That's me.
Yeah. Look, the Ivy Leagues come down. They do their rowing practice in it. If it's good enough for Princeton, it's good enough for me. Okay. I don't think I'm better than an Ivy League.
Okay.
All right. You went to FAU, so.
Yeah. Historically known as find another university.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, guys. If you're new, hi. Welcome to the chaos that is RBLR Sun FC.
Yeah.
If you're returning, you know what to do. Hit the button, hit the like button. If you haven't subscribed, hit the subscribe button. It's at RBLR Sports on YouTube and at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. Make sure you hit all the buttons for us. That lets us know you like us.
Hit the like, hit the subscribe.
If you don't like us, please don't tell us.
Hit the share button. Yeah, don't tell us if you don't enjoy this. We are emotionally fragile as it is. We don't need anything else going wrong in our lives, okay? We are lucky we support a good soccer team right now.
Honestly. Because if all we had was the Rowdies right now.
I don't know where I'd be. I'd be outside, to say the least.
Yeah, that's for sure. But fortunately, it's a great, great freaking day to be a Sun fan. And we had a really nice game against DC where we won 2-0.
2-0.
Yeah, buddy.
That's exactly what you thought it would be, huh, Liz?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I went 2-1 on it because I forgot. I bought the hype. I bought the DC hype. They've been playing so well under Phil Nana. They've been doing great in their random Tuesday home games that they've been doing. But they're just not good on the road. They're good at home. And we probably have the best home field advantage in the entire league. It's been said by many people many times before, and it'll be said again, Big Jim is where dreams go to die.
Okay, that's true.
We shatter teams. And, I mean, DC was pretty broken up already, but look, they were pretty hot. It's just another example of a team playing well and coming down here and not playing well. Carolina on a fantastic streak. First place, never not been in first place. Come down to us, lose. Brooklyn, they pick up the slack where Carolina left off. They're hot. They're killing it. We think Brooklyn might be the best team the Super League's ever seen. How's anybody ever going to stop Brooklyn? Go to Tampa. That's how. Now they're eliminated in fifth place.
In fifth place. That's just bonkers to me.
They fell off. They are chopped.
Eliminated.
DC, they were doing great. Trying to recover, even though they're eliminated, they were playing like they didn't know it. And then they came down and we told them, no, you guys are not ready for the playoffs, and let us tell you why. And we did.
Yes, we did.
Yep. Typical.
How did that lineup look, Tom?
How did that lineup look? It's I mean, it looks the way it should always look. Yeah. It's that classic DSB formation we've all grown to love over the history of our club, over the past 4 months or so since we started using it. But it's perfect. It's the 3-5-2, pretty soccer formation we love. Schneider got the start. She's been very consistent. I think she's earned it. She deserves to be back there. If you watch this game at all, you understand I'm doing a little foreshadowing right now, but just by mentioning her. But Schneider got the start. Let's worry about that. Across the back, it's three. It's the three you've come to know and love. Paige on the left, Brooke Hendricks in the middle, Viv Bissett on the right side. And, of course, Paige on the left, Bissett on the right. They've got a lot of freedom to move up, a lot of freedom to play with the midfielders in front of them as well. That's Nocello on the left wing ahead of Paige. You're going to see a lot of good interplay between those two. Moore as the center channel clogger, defensive midfielder. Jamona as the attacking midfielder in the middle there, facilitating. Listro on the right side defensively, and Haugen on the right sideline, playing a lot of passes and defensive exchanges with Viv Bissett. It's something I noticed more this game than in others. I think something from the open practice that they were kind of emphasizing was making sure that those two players on the extremes, on the wings, would be able to operate well together. And Dory and Viv looked tremendous. Paige and Sid looked like old friends. They were playing so well together out there. And then up top, we had the two strikers, Cecilia Fleu and Tosh Flint. And it's as close as you get to kind of a perfect formation for us. No taking the foot off the gas for this last game of the regular season. We knew we needed to win this game and secure a home field. We pushed it hard off the field to make sure we got a good crowd up there. And hot damn, I'd say we did, right?
Said it was a sellout. I don't know if it was a sellout, but they said it was a sellout. And it was very, very packed.
They got rid of all the tickets, I would say. But I don't know if all the tickets got used, but they got rid of them all.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a solid formation. It's exactly what I want to see out of us going into these next two games. Injuries be damned. I think we suffered a little bit with depth, with injuries throughout the year, with visas not happening, but we caught fire at just the right time. Kind of, if you're a Tampa sports fan, we're taking one right out of the Lightning playbook right now, where they sort of coast all year and then get really good right at the end and make a long playoff run. So that's what blue Tampa teams do, and we're doing it. So it's a nice formation. It's what I want to see out of us. It's something that, especially being at that open practice this past Wednesday, you can tell is really well drilled in. I think they probably spent a lot more time focusing more on themselves a couple months ago. And now you can see they were kind of incorporating what's the other team going to do. How's DC going to press? How are they going to act with the ball? And trying to act like that at the same time as you're trying to play your game as well. It's a really well-worked team. It's really well-run. I know we watch Sun more than anybody else, but I feel like there's a true identity to this club that some teams in Super League are definitely missing.
Yeah, I feel like we have a nice mix of goal scorers too. Like I was just watching the US, this is like such a tangent and I apologize that I'm going off, but I was watching the USL Super League show and they were talking about Mia Corbin and I was like, yeah, I feel like she's the only person I can name from Carolina who scores, but yeah. I can't say the same of our team. Like we have what? Flo, Flint, Giamona, Listro, Hendrick scored the first one. I feel like we have a nice, like, we've really, I don't know. That was just something off the top of my head. Like, we have identity. I mean, we have we're not cookie cutter so much we just pass ball to one person score goal, which I feel like a lot of other teams kind of are. That was where totally I was going with that.
Yeah, you feel like you're being weird, but you are being incredible right now, Liz. You're nailing it. I mean, I'm looking at the stats, so this isn't just me gassing you up, okay? Allie Thornton and Mia Corbin are tied right now for the Golden Boot. They're both sitting on 12. So that could very well be decided this weekend when I'm sure one of them is going to score at least one goal. So we'll see who it is, how many they get. But that's the Golden Boot race right now. We are obviously out of it. We don't have a game this weekend. But Flu is right there with 11 goals. And that's considering she's on 11 goals. Flint's on 9 goals. Jamona's on 7 goals. We are the only team with 3 players in the top 10 when it comes to goals scored. So we really do work it around. We make things work. We got a ton of goal scorers. There it is. Flew 11, Flint 9, Jamona 7, Nacella with 4, which I'm sure she's got a lot more assists too. It feels like she does more. Keane came in super late.
With 2. Oh my gosh. And she just came on like a 3, feels like a blink of an eye ago.
Yeah, like 5 games tops. Goins with 2 goals, and she was a spring addition. Clark got 1. Dory, Henny, Listro, Jade, Stouty, and Ava Tankersley all with 1. So yeah, we make it work. You know, whoever's available. It's
tied for second on assists. You were right.
Okay. Yeah. So 7 points total for her and 15 points total for Flu with 4 assists. That's incredible.
God bless Flu. She helps as much as she gives.
Yeah. She's going to be, I know I say it all the time, but she's going to be a lot of fun to watch in the World Cup with Denmark sooner rather than later.
Oh yeah.
She's bound for huge things. I know it.
Yeah. All right, getting into this game. 2 minutes in, Nacella gets fouled so hard in the box. What the heck? Like, don't get a penalty.
Yeah.
I guess because the ref doesn't want to give one that early, but okay.
If it's a penalty in the middle of the field, if it's a penalty in the 30th minute, it's a penalty in the box in the second. Come on, dude. Yeah. Call it. But, you know, she makes up for it. She doesn't let it get her down. She had one of her greatest games ever, at least in front of us.
And in front of her dad. Shout out to Sydney Nacella's dad. He watches the show, he told us. And he came over and he hung out with us in the heat wave. He was on the drums. We got pictures of him on the drums, having the time of his life. It was great. Yep.
Friend of the pod, Mr. Nacella.
Yes. So 5 minutes in, Sydney Schneider, she gets kicked in the elbow. She lands on her elbow. Not quite sure what it was. Mike said she got kicked. I thought she landed on her elbow. And either way, that's going to hurt. And you could see her just like the way she was mouthing, like how much it hurt. She was not being dramatic. She was just being like, this freaking hurts.
Yeah. You don't want to come out of the game and the 5th minute, you know,
no,
especially as a goalie. And no, she made a great save, dive into her right. And then, I straight up think Loza Bear kicked her in the hand. Like that's all it is, which I don't think it's on purpose, but
no, I don't think it was on purpose. It was just really unfortunate, but
yeah, could have held back a little bit. It's not every game you kick the goalie in the hand, you know?
Yeah. So that unfortunately means Sydney Schneider is coming out. I feel like we are the only team in the whole league that has had emergency like keeper replacements twice.
At least.
I think it's the same, but and for the same keeper too, like not for the same keeper, like the same replacement keeper coming in too is kind of funny.
Good old Ashley Orcas. Yeah, we were talking about it where we both think Schneider is like obviously super solid as a goalie, regular starter for the Jamaican national team, cool as ice back there. Ashley has a little more verve to her, but she's got a lot more swag too when she's on her game. I said it the other day. I think on top of her game, Ashley Orcas is the best goalie in the league. When she's not on her game, there's a noticeable drop off. But there's something about coming in off the bench that she's just super stoked about, it seems like.
Yeah, it's something about rising to the occasion, or I even to liken it kind of sillily. You know when like your friend needs to do something, like they need to like return something or ask for more hot sauce or something, and they can't do it, but you can do it for them.
Yeah.
And that's like, I can't normally do it for me either, but I can do it for a friend. That's kind of what it's giving.
Ashley Orcus is definitely the type to be like, no, there were supposed to not be any pickles on this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really funny. I like that. Also, she just like grabbed Henny in the face, like lovingly, obviously. She grabs her, yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I think, or something like that, and then walks away. But I really want to know what she said.
She was locking in with the whole defense. It was.
Yeah. It was yeah. I liked it. Yeah. And like 2 minutes later, she has a great first save. We love it. Orcus getting in there. She's like you said, she's got her swag on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's throwing herself around a little bit more. You know, you come in as the backup goalie off the bench like that. You don't get your full array of warm-ups. You're not seeing all these different shots. You're not hitting the ground. You're not feeling it. So the first shot you save, you got to kind of have a little extra with it. To make sure you're ready for everything else that comes. So, and she does. She dives after this ball hard, and she hits the ground hard, and she's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. A couple minutes later, Gianna Gurley really has, I think she has it out for the team at this point. She's like, we've already been eliminated. I have nothing left to lose. Time to foul. Let's foul the team that's gotten the most fouls just for funsies. Yeah.
Her all game, Gorley, especially the striker 13 up top for DC. She was having fun. Well, and she was no. She wasn't having any fun. Let me be clear about that. But she was trying her best to try to have fun.
Yeah.
She was going after people. She was shooting. None of it was working, but you could tell she was in full on whatever mode. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I was reading your next note. Getting some open practice vibes. DC playing like training cones.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, though.
No. It helped a lot to see the open practice because now we know what it looks like. And I think the team, having played Lexington pretty recently, they were like, okay, we can play against bad teams too, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing to get up for Carolina or Dallas, but. You got to be able to bring it against the bad teams when they're not going to bring it to you.
Yeah, which I think historically we've talked about we've played down a little bit. And I know it's like the whole thing and everything, but like we've played down. I don't feel like we played to the best of our ability. This was a game where I thought we played to the best of our ability, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we controlled things the whole way through. I mean, this whole opening stretch, the injury to Schneider kind of muddled things a little bit, but it was a lot of working the ball around very effectively. Like I was talking about I was super impressed with what Sydney and Paige were doing and also Dory and Viv on the other side, but it seemed like a well-executed game plan, not trying to hoof it over the top. I know it's something that has kind of worked for us before when we use the big long ball from our defense, but it's not really what Denise wants to do, I think.
Yeah.
And so we were using this game as an opportunity to work the ball the way we want it to be worked. Bringing up the left wing, always our attacking wing. The right wing we kind of utilize later in the games where it's, you know, speed on tired legs, like Zayd coming in late or something. But we love the way Paige and Nacella play together. And it was just so much control. It looked fantastic. I mean, It pays off so quick, too. To 22nd minute was our goal.
Yep. And 2 minutes before that, Nacella had another shot that went like just high. And I like the persistence that we have. I like what we were doing. And like you said, pays off. We were knocking on DC's door the whole night. It probably could have been 3 or 4-0, honestly.
There were opportunities before that. And I mean, at some point in the show, I'm going to give a shout out to Morgan Aquino. Aquino, she pronounces the Q like that. But I mean, it could have been ugly if it wasn't for her. Absolutely. She was easily their best player. She made some huge saves. could have been 2-0 by minute 22. Could have been 5-0 at the end of the game. But yeah, it took a frankly heroic effort from a Nocello in the 22nd minute to collect the ball on her own outside of her right foot, dribble down the wing, take on one defender. All of a sudden, there's two. She said that's two defenders is not going to stop seeing Nocello. Three probably won't.
No, she dribbles between three doesn't because I'm pretty sure two come up.
Yeah. She
and then she just sort of like moves the ball around them like they're not even there.
Yeah, practice cones, training cones. She's doing what she would be doing in practice.
Yeah,
it was. She splits them so well, hammers it home. I think the best thing about the goal being there in person for it was that it was coming right towards us, and right in front of me on the drums was her dad the whole time. I'm like, oh my God, if she scores this, as soon as she corralled it, I was like, oh my God, if she scores in front of her dad on like this individual effort. Yeah, it was, I think it's probably the proudest he's ever going to be. Like, I think he's probably listening, so I don't want to speak for him or something. But man, if there's ever an advertisement for like having children, it's that right there. The sense of pride he had was palpable. It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Dory Haugen gets fouled. I feel like we get fouled a lot in this game.
Yeah. It's a taste of our own medicine. We foul the most of anyone.
Yeah. So,
can't be too mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No. So Flo tries to head it in the 31st minute.
Yeah, it was a really good chance. I mean, like, this one could have easily... I think it was just a little wide, but it was a lot of... This was the one that came in from the right side off the work by the cross by Dory. And, I mean, Flo slashes in, and it's just a little bit off. I think if she was on frame, I think she had the goalie beat. But it's just another example of doing what we want to do, doing what they work on in practice, and having it just about work. And I mean, you can't expect to score off like a cross like that all the time. So it's good stuff to see going in the playoffs. It's confident, well worked, well orchestrated football.
Yeah. And then my next comment is that this feels like a hat stack game, which sounds bad. It sounds bad, but it's a hat stack game because at no point, not a single iota of me was worried about as soon as this match started about us losing. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. There's
DC, every shot DC makes, which is like two, three, maybe. They're all bad. They have no power on them. They're not. It's just very. Meh.
No power.
Like if I was kicking, it'd be terrible.
Yeah, there's bad boring soccer and there's good boring soccer.
Yeah.
And the first game where we actually physically did the hat stack, that was bad boring. We were not happy. We were going through it back then.
Yeah.
But now our team is good, and it's almost boring how good and well oiled everything is. It's like, yeah, we're not troubled by anything that DC's doing. We're not, you know, our chances are exciting. Those are little spikes of excitement. But other than that, it's just, I mean, how excited can you really get? Like, wow, we're passing the ball really well. It's like, yeah, okay, great.
Not to say that we were not losing our goddamn minds on Saturday, by the way, because we absolutely were.
Yeah.
It's just on the rewatch. We were like, oh, well, wow, we're just good.
It's not a boring game when you're there by any means.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We are specifically talking about the rewatch being not that exciting, only because one, obviously we know how it ends, and two, we get there fairly easily and without very much resistance.
Yeah, they're exactly. Very little resistance, very little trouble to it.
Yeah.
When you're playing that well in person, you're having a blast with it. I mean, we had a rotating cast of drummers. Sidney Mosello's dad, you know, Palmer, I don't know. He got there eventually. and then Amanda Vandervoort for another 10, 20 minutes like she always does. And this, not just like the energy, but like the capacity of the stadium, of the heat wave section. It was so noticeable. I think the heat wave specifically, that name was said like 5 times on the broadcast. And then another 2 times by Coach Schulte Brown in the postgame presser. Like, it's not tooting our own horn anymore. No one does it like
people
us.
Like us.
No one does it like us. Look around the league. We're killing it.
Well, I don't think Fort Lauderdale likes us.
Yeah. Yeah, people like us, except for Fort Lauderdale. It's Spokane fine. Likes us. We made friends.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's a really confident first half where we just looked fantastic. Only one goal to show for it, but not for lack of trying. Not for, I mean, we didn't try to do more than we had to do, you know, where maybe there could have been 2 or 3 if we had pushed, but there was no real impetus to have to do that. It was, we got our one and let's keep playing our game. It's you treat a preseason game before the regular season kind of the same way we were treating this. This was a preseason game for the postseason for us.
Yeah, I don't think we ever took our foot off the gas. We just didn't, like, kick it into overdrive because we never needed to.
Yeah. We never slowed down, but we never broke the speed limit either because we didn't have to.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it, honestly.
We're going solid 50 miles an hour for all game.
Yeah, because 53 minutes, Flo scores. As she is as she often does. She nutmegs the keeper in the process.
Yeah.
Poor it's Morgan.
It's a good goal. It gets overshadowed by like how good Sydney's goal was earlier. It's like, wow, that's the greatest goal. We're ahead. Everything else is icing. But if Sydney hadn't scored, if this was the first goal, you know, this would be the goal we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it was a beautiful, perfect dime of a lob pass by Flint that lands right where she's running. It's like a quarterback throwing a Hail Mary and just not even a Hail Mary, just a nice fade and grabbing it. And she controls it. She nutmegs Aquino. It's you're not going to see too many prettier goals.
No, honestly, it was great. And she's, as you said, a calm finish. Like it's never, nothing about it is rushed or hurried. It's just, I'm just going to tap it in.
Yeah. It's a veteran goal scorer's goal. And she's 22, 23 years old. But when you score as much as you do, and you're playing on a team with this many veterans, I feel like she picks up the veteran mannerisms a lot quicker than a lot of 23-year-olds.
DC does actually get a shot. It's very, very wide.
It's worth mentioning, though.
Yeah, because they actually got a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, they did start getting more shots in the second half. That's just how games go. The team that's losing needs it a little bit more, so they're going to shoot a little bit more. And man, they had more shots. How wide do you want the goal? They had so many shots that were like 5, 6, 7 feet away. But at least they're shots, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's DC. They're trying to move the Overton window, you know? If you start shooting over here, maybe the goal itself will move the more you talk about the goals having to be over there. That's just basic politics, you know? You got to move the conversation. I don't know how they practice. I don't know what they do up there.
Do they practice?
They have to. Yeah, they're lobbying for bigger goals. They're at the congressional softball game all the time. Smoke. I think the USL Super League should use 30-foot goals.
Jesus.
I don't know. Could be interesting. Something to think about next year.
Yeah. We have one weird moment of like brain fartiness where we're like, what are we doing? In the 58th minute, that's about it. And then we pick the ball back up. And they, I mean, they get a corner, but they don't really do anything with it. So it's not an issue.
Yeah. I didn't love that. It did look, I hate to use this word about our team, but it looked dumb. We looked real dumb for a second there. Mm-hmm. Like no communication. The ball just kind of sat there. Everybody kind of looking at it, looking at each other. And one of the power players just picked it up. And yeah, Dory, despite having been hurt earlier, like you'd mentioned, once again gets on her horse and rides and gets all the way back there to cover it up. Yeah, I saw your cat in the background there. I got a little distracted.
just using the litter box. Don't mind her.
Yeah. Good height for her. Good height for it.
I know. I tried to mute so that you wouldn't hear her scratching at least.
Good classic. You're a professional.
I could not laugh seeing her in the corner.
Jesus.
Especially because I expected it to be Pablo, but I should have known it wasn't because of how quiet it was and how graceful the jumping was.
Izzy's very ladylike, even when she's pissing on camera, I guess.
Yeah. We're just ripping apart DC's defense like it's nothing.
It's that kind of game.
Yeah, I hate to say we're literally dribbling circles around them, but yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
literally.
It's one team's in the playoffs and one team's not, and it doesn't take a brain genius to know which one's which at this point in the game.
Yeah. I'm sorry, does Ashley Orcus punch Flint in the head?
Ashley Orcus punched Tosh Flint in the head.
Oh, that's what causes Flint's injury. Okay, fair.
Yeah. It's okay. She's Flint's British. I'm sure she's been punched in the head by her friend before. I'm sure it'll happen again. She's tough. Out on the town, yeah.
British women are just built different.
Yeah, seriously. Jeremy. Any stoppage in play, it's always like Flint and Moore like getting together, like scheming about something. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's Orcus is getting out there, you know? She's protecting her zone. It's that swag she comes in with when she comes in with it. And if she's going to have to punch one of her teammates, she's going to have to punch one of her teammates. You can't let that deter you from the mission as a goalie. You can't be worried about who you might about to bloody their nose, because I think that might have happened. But hey, them's the breaks. That's soccer.
All right, so we make a couple subs. We do Zayden for Paige, Provenzano for Moore, Giamona for Goins.
Goins for Giamona out.
Oh, Giamona out for Goins.
She do be Goins ins, though.
Wow, she must really, really hate all the puns on her name.
It's a tough last name. We only make puns because we're scared of it.
Yeah.
And her. But it's an interesting triple suite of subs to do. Just rest people, even though we don't have a game. Make sure everybody's playing. Make sure everybody's fresh. Zayde brings a different look. Brings that speed.
I was a little surprised Paige didn't play the full 90 because I think she has been. But I'm not. I don't hate it because it's also just getting Zayde like what a good 20. Yeah, a good 20 minutes at least.
Yeah.
I just odd. Just a change from previous.
Yeah, and our defense is lighter than our midfield or our attacking core, for sure. We don't have the same amount of depth there, and I think that's part of the reason we're running a three-back system. But we take – and Zayde's a pure right-back or a right mid, and Paige plays in the left when she's able to play where she likes to. I know earlier in the season we were playing her on the right, kind of out of necessity. But to take Paige, a left – field player off for Zayde, a pure right-sided, that necessitated a couple changes, and the team had to shift and adapt. And I think it's just, that's kind of part of it, is you want your team to play differently and play just as well, no matter who out there, no matter where they're playing. And it didn't seem like, it's something you've said a lot this season, no matter who's out there, or there's no real drop off, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do according to the game plan. You know, Zade obviously gives you a different look on the right side just with her speed, but that just means we stop attacking, you know, with the ticky-tacker on the left side with Paige and Nocello so much, and we do a little bit more let's let Zade run at you type of deal. And she did. She always finds an opportunity to run. She's the baby horse now. You know, sorry, Alex. It's not you anymore.
Well, to be fair, the Alex Morgan had a baby, so the baby horse had a baby. So that was
baby you can't be you can't be a mama horse and a baby horse.
The DC keeper also gets a yellow for dissent at this time, which was just kind of funny, honestly. she just comes off her line for some reason.
All the way out of the 18-yard box, just yelling at whatever.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what happened, what DC was doing, was just a case of mad because bad. You know, when you're playing bad, you're going to be mad. And that's all it is. Sorry. We're good. We're not going to stop being good.
Yeah.
80th minute, 80th one minute. More sub.
Oh, yep.
I got this. This might. Let me do it. It's the last. It might be the last time we get to. 80th minute, Erica Timrak comes on for her swan song. Not to say she's not going to get into the playoffs, but this is it for her right here. I know we talked about it
last
week.
As far as the regular season, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, very good chance she still gets in another game or two, but we've talked about what a career she had last week when it was announced she was retiring. They did the whole video package for her and for Jade. I can't. How cool is it? You know, you see all the little girls in the stands looking up to the players and everything. It like there were no pro women's players for Erica to do that to when she was growing up here in Tampa Bay. So now to be that idol, to be that role model, it just shows how important Super League is, because it's something we harped on a lot when the league started. There's just not that many pro women's soccer teams, and now we've added 8, now 9 with Jacksonville. We've added 8, 9 more, and it's. It's not nothing. It means a lot to the communities we're in.
Yeah. I was thinking about this too. I was like, oh man, I wonder if, and I know this sounds harsh, and I understand that, especially coming as a Sun fan, but I'm like, oh man, I wonder if Erica Timrak or Jade Moore are disappointed that this is the club they're retiring with, like a brand new team that they don't really know the future of. It doesn't have any history. Yeah. But I mean, I hate to say, but regardless of that, the fact that we, the fans, get to have them retire at our club means so much. And I hope that they know that. But I was thinking about that. I was I hope that they are happy that this is where they're retiring, because we are ecstatic that they came here and took a chance on us.
Absolutely. I mean, you're so right. Because like, as a USL fan or a women's soccer fan, there's always that underlying concern. Is the league going to stick around? Is my team going to stick around? And it's the elephant in the room that nobody talks about, you know? Like, we want to sit here and believe that the Sun are doing everything right, and we're going to play for the next 200 years. We're going to win the Club World Cup at some point, you know? We're going to have U.S. national team players. We're going to build it the right way and get there. But, like, this is our first season, and everything is still up in the air. So it does mean a lot for Jade and for Erica to take a chance on something new like this, and to use their last year instead of, you know, riding it out in some, you know, some NWSL club or back home in England for Jade, to use their last year to build something really important, something that we hope, the fans hope, the players, the coaching staff, everybody hopes will last. You know, it could be something huge. They could be, you know, we could have plaques to them outside of a dedicated stadium in a few years. And that's the idea. That's where we want it to go.
Oh man, don't even. I'm gonna cry.
Fuck. It is. Yeah. End of the last season. We have to start thinking about things, and it gets interesting.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever. I don't know if they'll know, but like how like just unimaginably appreciative that I am to all of honestly every single person on the team for just saying yes to the Tampa Bay Sun. And for being here and for making this happen, regardless of how we finished, we still had a women's pro soccer team with two sellouts.
Yeah.
In one season.
Yeah, and we could have been last place in the league. We could have gone winless. And it still would have meant so much to so many people just to have this. You're so right. I hope everybody involved with putting this together knows how important, how monumental, how historic, how iconic they are.
Yeah.
Not done yet, though. Not done. We got two more games.
Yep. Yeah, just like Jade said. We're not done yet. We're not done yet.
Yep. Yeah. We're not done. We are done with the regular season. That was the finale for us. Finish us in a really good spot. But everybody else except for Brooklyn, who they're done. Don't worry about them. They're over. Lexington and DC, they will be playing at 7:00 this coming Saturday in a game that doesn't matter except for their own pride. It's team number 7 versus team number 8.
I just hope everybody has fun. I
hope everybody has fun and no one gets hurt.
Yep.
I hope the Colombian girls play and I hope Shin gets out there too.
Honestly,
if you're Lexington, look at me. If you're not going to use Shin, send her down here. We could use her.
Yeah, could you? I like her particular brand of shithousery.
Yeah, she's a Sun player. She just doesn't know it yet.
Oh yeah, yeah. I bet you look great in blue and gold.
Yep. Now, what else is going on this weekend, Liz?
Dallas is playing Carolina. It kind of matters.
It matters for Dallas.
It matters for Dallas.
It matters a lot for Dallas.
Yeah.
It matters so much for Dallas that if they don't win or draw, they are eliminated. So it couldn't matter more for Dallas. Actually, if they don't win, they're eliminated. Much less a draw. They need to win against Carolina.
And that good luck.
That'll sneak them into the 4th spot. Yeah, good luck.
Okay.
That kind of comes down to how much Carolina cares, I think, you know? Do they want to play Dallas? Do they want to play Spokane or Fort Lauderdale? They can kind of, if they want to play Dallas in a serious game in the playoffs, then you kind of just let Dallas win this weekend. And you use that to come up with some tactical things, see what Dallas does when they need to win a game and you don't. All the onus is on them. They're breaking out everything they have. They're trying their hardest. And you go, okay, now we know what that is. But do you want to put yourself in that position to play the same team twice in, you know, a couple weeks? Maybe they do, but they're pro athletes. Nobody ever wants to sit back and say, let's not win this game, you know?
Yeah.
So that's
yeah,
that's
I think the, Carolina's going to be coming at it with all they got.
They're going to try to win. Absolutely.
They're going to treat this as like practice thinking. for playoffs.
Yeah.
Not playoffs, for semis. Excuse me.
For playoffs.
Okay, yeah. This part for playoffs.
You're right. Yeah, and then the big game, really, kicking off at 9:00 because it's way out on the West Coast, is Spokane versus Fort Lauderdale. And
very, very interesting to see how Spokane plays. Fort Lauderdale, as you wrote, is coming off the 1-0 win over Dallas. Pretty good. Not bad.
Yeah.
Spokane has had 2.5 weeks of rest. So they have probably been studying Fort Lauderdale every single day, every minute.
Yeah. And I can't recall the team it was, but we just played someone who came off a lot of rest. And it was Carolina.
Carolina, yeah.
The game up there. And they came off so much rest, and their players were saying, you know, when you have this much time and you know who you're playing, you watch their games. You study them. So it got them a nice 1-1 draw against what has been a very good Tampa Bay Sun team lately.
Yeah.
And that's because they could rest up, heal up, study up. I think Spokane at home with the benefit of the rest, having played Fort Lauderdale 3 times already, obviously, having watched them play while they're just sitting at home, and then, you know, Fort Lauderdale taking that hours and hours long trek across the continent to get out there. I'm leaning Spokane for this one. I really am.
Oh, yeah, no, I think Spokane is definitely the favorite. And I think Spokane is exactly who we don't want to win.
Yeah.
I think Spokane will be a problem.
Spokane has been a problem for us in the past. Yeah. Not to say Fort Lauderdale hasn't, because we've only beat them once and drawn them every other time. But that's kind of what happens when you get down to the best 4 or 5 teams in the league. Everybody's very good all of a sudden. But, you know, whoever it's going to be, we can take solace in the fact that we will be at home for at least the first game.
And I'm not going to lie, that feel, and I'm going to use R1 for this, that feels fucking great.
Yes.
We are literally at this, like, I hate to say, we are kind of sitting pretty this weekend. We're just like, I wonder who we're going to play.
Yeah.
At home.
We
don't travel or go anywhere.
We've pulled our hotel chair up and we're just sitting back and watching and enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
Is it, whatever happens, we're well equipped to handle whatever comes next, whether it be Spokane, whether it be Fort Lauderdale. Those are the only two options, but out of either of them,
Dallas.
No, they're not getting third place.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully we play them.
I forgot that the placement matters too.
I wouldn't mind playing them in the championship, but no, if it's Fort Lauderdale, if it's Spokane, Spokane on the road out in Washington, I'd be a little worried about. We're better at home than we are on the road.
Yeah.
But we beat Fort Lauderdale at home. We've beat Spokane at home. We know how to beat these teams. We know how to play well in front of our fans. We get out there and it's scientific at this point. This is no longer opinion. We are the best fans in the Super League. I 100% believe that. Like it's you watch enough games, you get it. And when that stadium is full, it's not a huge stadium. So when it's full, everybody's so close. Everybody's right there. Everything's rebounding off the walls of the high school that are right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's an intimidating place to have to come play. So whoever we get, be it Spokane, be it Fort Lauderdale, I know we move on. I know we handle our business.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you wrote a lot of playoff math.
Yeah, and then I did a spreadsheet too. I was just looking at that. Because I realized I did a lot of numbers.
Yeah, you did.
Eureka posted on Twitter. It's not like it's a secret.
No, I know. But like when you look at it like this, it looks so much more complicated.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It really is.
Okay.
There's a 66% chance we host Fort Lauderdale and a 33% chance we host Spokane. The only ways we get Spokane are with a Carolina win and a Spokane win. A draw and a Spokane. Actually, I'll make it even easier for you. Spokane's win, we play them.
Okay.
That's it. If anything besides Spokane winning happens, we're playing Fort Lauderdale. A draw or a Fort Lauderdale win, and we get fluted. Spokane wins, and we're playing Zephyr. That's what we have to worry about. Simple. Mm-hmm. Love simple math.
Yeah. Moving on. We spied someone new on the practice squad.
We gotcha. Yeah, we got rid of Lauren Kellett.
And we are going to butcher her name.
Yeah. Or Lauren Kellett got rid of us, whatever happened there. God bless you, Lauren. Mm-hmm. So we did pick up a third goalie. You need one around the team. So obviously we reached back into our bag of tricks, the USF women's soccer team. And Liz, we signed... Didn't sign. Practice squad. We brought aboard.
We practice squatted.
We practice squatted. She squatted up in our practice facility. Recent USF graduate. very good goalkeeper from Valencia, Spain. And Liz, her name is...
You're going to make me say it?
Say it.
I can't say it.
Say it. Sound it out. It's Spanish.
Lyra Haraz Galak?
Yes. Absolutely. Sure could be. Who knows?
Oh, okay. I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I don't. I can't.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
She pronounces on the USF roster. They do the thing where she pronounces her own name so that you know how to pronounce it. I listened to it a dozen times. I don't know what she's saying. Lera, first name. Lera, Hrayas Galak, her, Lera.
How do we make an Irish? Leila Jerez Galak.
Galak, yeah. She's from Valencia or maybe Aberdeen. I don't know. Yeah. If you're out there, if you're listening, or if someone who knows her is listening, help us out. Because my God, what a name.
If you'd like to send us the phonetic spelling and or phonetic pronunciation, we'd appreciate that. And we will say it correctly in the next one, I promise.
We'd love to be able to. Either way, yeah, welcome.
And also, if you've made it 51 minutes in, thank you.
Thanks. Like and subscribe.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. If you are Lera Harayas Galak, Galich. If you're Lera Harayas Galich, remember to like and subscribe. Even though we butchered your beautiful name. It's a beautiful name when she says it.
Drop your pronunciation in the comments.
Sound off below. How would you attempt this? We don't know.
Amazing. We also, we practice squatted one person, but Jacksonville signed, two people? Three people?
Two persons.
Two persons.
Yep.
Yeah, and one you're super mad about. Tell us why you're mad about Georgia Brown.
I'm big mad that Jacksonville signed sweet Georgia Brown. She's a USF four-year player. She's a player I've watched play for USF, cheered for, loved, rooted for, given my positive vibes and energies to. But to be fair, she has also played, I think, the past two seasons at least in the USLW League with Sporting Jacksonville, used to be Florida Elite. Before they got taken over by the new team, Sporting Jacks. She was the USLW League Defender of the Year for that entire almost 100-club league last year. So obviously very good. She's a two-time Academic All-American. She was a regular starter, a big piece of a very good USF team. So I totally get why she signed for them, given that she was on their W League team for the past couple summers. She's been a big part of why they've been so good up there, laying a foundation in the form of Florida Elite and getting bought out to Sporting Jacks. And Sporting Jacks has done a lot of good things when it comes to the youth, kind of like Fort Lauderdale, how they're building a good pyramid down there with a men's program, a women's program, League 2, W League, looking to go League 1, Fort Lauderdale. Jacksonville's doing a lot of good things as well. They've got a League 2 men's program. They're going championship eventually. They've got a USLW League team. They've bought out the biggest academies in Jacksonville, in Florida Elite, in Gainesville, in Tallahassee. They're going around North Florida, in Panama City, I think, or Pensacola, one of those, maybe both. But they're doing a lot of the right things, and it's frustrating for, you know, the small thing, as it may be, where I want Georgia Brown, because she plays for USF and it's right here. And we still obviously have a ton of ties to the USF program. Denise's husband is now the head coach there, took over for her. We keep bringing in, you know, Bree Blevin, Jordan Listro, Lera the goalie, all these USF players. So you'd think we would want to have that pipeline from what is historically a really good college program in the Bulls. So I I get why she's up there with her ties, but I was hoping, I was holding out hope that her ties to us would be a little bit stronger. So it's frustrating about what Jacksonville's doing because they took her from us, you know, from us. It was 50-50 custody, but they want her. They want her in the court case. And then not only that, but they're doing the right thing with the youth, with the academy. In a big sense, when you look at the Sun, when you look at the Rowdies here in Tampa Bay, I don't know what the thing, what the issue is. I don't know what the issue is with the academies. There is no Rowdies Academy. There is no Sun Academy. There's both teams, both pro organizations have good working relationships with Tampa Bay United, a very good, very productive academy. Florida Premier as well. Clearwater Chargers. There's a lot of good youth soccer. Tampa Bay, Florida, we're a hotbed for soccer. But the very fact that the Rowdies and the Sun don't have a formalized, under their logo, under their umbrella, playing under their system with their coaches, academy, it's something that frustrates me to no end. And I'm afraid we will start losing ground to Fort Lauderdale, to Jacksonville, if we don't have, and I'm sure there's a lot of politics with Tampa Bay United and with Florida Premier. I'm sure they don't get along. And I'm sure the fear is you don't want to pick one over the other. And then how hard is it to start your own when those two are so well established and Chargers, West Florida Flames. But it's not working in Tampa Bay, I think. I mean, for the players, it's working. They're going to college. They're succeeding. But for the pro clubs, I don't think it's working so well. We need to start thinking about that. It's become glaringly obvious now that there is no USLW League amateur women's summer team because Tampa Bay United dropped out. St. Pete FC doesn't have one, even though they're in League Two. Paradise doesn't give a damn down there in Sarasota. King's Hammer out in Swan City, they're the only W League team in Lakeland, Auburndale. And they've got their own set of issues, set of struggles. But there needs to be something flowing upward into the Rowdies, into the Sun, to keep our players here when they turn professional. I know we've got a lot of early in the season, Sienna Bryan, Skylar Alonso, Aaliyah Pitts, all these good young academy players, Lindsay Nicholson, going off to Georgetown, to SMU, wherever they're going. But we need to know that when they're done with their education, with their college careers, they need to know that they can come back here and play pro. We need to know that they can come back to us. And if you're good enough, and if you think it's something you want to do, you can skip college and start playing for the Sun professionally full-time immediately. And the pipeline isn't there. Where Fort Lauderdale's building it and Jacksonville's building it, Carolina's building it in their relationship with Charlotte Independence. And it's something, if there's anything I'm worried about for the Sun, for the Rowdies, for soccer in Tampa Bay, it's that there is no cohesive, I know it's the buzz phrase, but there's no cohesive path to pro for our kids to stay here if they want to, you know?
That's valid. Yeah, I get that. I don't want to reload. There's also something to be said for going away to college, I feel like, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's important. But, you need a W League team to keep a player from Georgia, like Georgia Brown, from playing for USF and then going to Jacksonville to play her summer ball. And then she ends up signing, once she graduates, not with her college town, but with her summer ball team.
Yeah.
If we had a program that kept her here, maybe she'd sign with us. And she's a fantastic player. She's going to make an impact. She's a statement. You know, you don't sign the 2024 USLW League player defender of the year and not think people are, you know, not going to notice. That's a good signing. They're going to need some veterans, obviously, to build around, sign some players from overseas, from other Super League clubs to build a core. But she's going to be a starter in August when Jacksonville starts up. That's my biggest concern and problem with the Sun, with the Rowdies, with everything that's happening here is we need a little bit more focus. I think it's less about being a pro team and more about being a soccer club. A little sour note, my bad. We're going to the playoffs, baby. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know. That's like a 5-minute rant. I don't know what to do, but like, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Nothing you said is incorrect.
But that's the future. That's the year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 year future. The short term future is that on June 7th we are hosting a playoff game. So let's worry about that right now. We got a whole off season to rant about things.
We do. You started early. My goodness.
Yeah. Hey, there's no game to preview. I got to come up with something.
Oh, that's true. All right. I feel like that about wraps it up for today.
Yep. Enjoy watching all the other games, just sitting back in your chair.
Yes. Make sure you watch all the games. It's what did we say? It's 6, 7, 8. Seven, eight, nine yep. PM. You can watch all the games. Make sure you're tuning in on Peacock. But most of all, make sure that you hit the like and subscribe button at RBLR Sports on the YouTubes and at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. Hit the buttons. Tell us you like us. Don't tell us that you don't like us. Yay.
Let's go, son.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.